This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenna Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, or also known as The Sun. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 15th, episode 1452. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh, sorry.
It's Wednesday.
Come on,
today
tighten
is
up.
Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. That opener makes it clear what day of the week is it. That one just makes it extremely clear. It's Wednesday. Yes, exactly. It's Tuesday. Well, it's Wednesday. It's over the hump day. You're on the downslide to the weekend now. And all that means for Jamie is that she will melt a couple days sooner.
Dude, why do people live here? This place is designed to kill you. Between the sun, the scorpion, the snakes, this place is hell on earth. Now, of course, I sing a very different song in December, but just go with me here. This place is hell.
120 over the weekend. That's going to be fun.
I've lived here 8 years and I have never seen it forecasted to be 120 degrees forecasted. And it's looking like days of it. So
it's good you're going to the mountains. I mean, where it's only going to be 105. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I think the high is like 92 up there and people are freaking out up there. I'm like, dude, it's going to be amazing. So 120 degrees is insane. And so I'm taking both the Mustangs to this cross country clinic, but I'm going to take Duke too, because I'm paying for stabling for him. Cause he just can't stay here.
Poor and Duke.
I know he's from the mountains of Colorado and he's 22 for God's sake. He's like, this sucks. I hate it here.
Back to Colorado, please.
Yes, please.
Betty Faye, take me back.
I know. Betty, I want to come home.
Why'd you send me to this hell on earth?
By the way, that's the horse I bought from a listener for those new people. Yes. Betty is the listener that I bought him from, sight unseen. But it worked out great. He's amazing. However, yeah, he does not like it. He's actually going to go, Glenn. I haven't even told you this. He's going to go be boarded in northern Arizona, but it doesn't start till July. So I'm getting him out of here for 2 months. He can't do it. He's too old. So he's got to stick through it, buddy. Come on. You can do it. Just a couple more weeks.
Well, good. I'm glad he's finding his way and going to be much cooler than he is right now. Speaking of cool, we saw the pictures you posted of your brand new, sparkling new airline pilot husband.
I know. Isn't he handsome?
Can we talk first about the uniforms? Let's talk about this. First of all, I have to say that his Air Force uniform is much cooler than the ugly-ass uniforms they put the pilots in the airlines. When are they going to make those like modern and hip?
I'm sorry. I thought it was hot.
Really?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? To like put on that nice crisp white shirt and a tie and like have those little stripies on his shoulders. I mean, the hat's pretty silly, but it's not a requirement that they
wear
those.
Does that mean you're going to have to iron a white shirt?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Glenn. Because if you do see, he is wearing a nice, fresh pressed white shirt.
Yes, I see that. It's very crisp and the lines are perfect.
Okay, let's poll of
By the way,
day
if you want to see this picture, go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page and scroll down.
Oh, did you post it there?
I think somebody did.
I don't iron. And poll of the day is, do any other horse chicks iron? Really? Do we iron? No. So
I think my iron's probably rusty on the inside from never being used.
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No, so we're like... this whole iron thing. He's like, we need to iron. And he's a military guy. Like, he can iron.
I
he's like,
thought
where's
they'd be
the iron?
Ironing forever.
But he doesn't iron things. I mean, he's a pilot, so he has the flight suit, and they don't iron those.
That's true.
So he's like, where's the iron? I was like, what iron? The iron, you know, an iron. Like, we don't have an iron. We don't have an iron. No, we don't have an iron. I don't iron. How long have you known me? And when have you ever seen me iron something? He's like, oh, that's a good point. So,
hey, Jamie, we'll fix you up. I'll send one out to you because we've got three.
Ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I'll send one right out to you.
That's a waste of time right there, my friend. So as a female that doesn't iron, you create ways to get wrinkles out of clothes. And so he's like, what do I do? He took the thing out of the wash and it was all wrinkly. He's like, what do I do? I need an iron. And of course he like did it the morning of, he had to leave, of course. So I said, here's what you do. Calm down. Get a towel, like a washcloth, and get it really, really, really wet and just kind of wring it out just a little bit. Throw that in the dryer with your shirt. He's like, this is never going to work. I said, trust me. So he puts the washcloth wet in the dryer and the shirt, pulls it out crisp as can be. So just for those of you who are total slackers like me that don't iron and did not know that trick, the other trick is to put it in the shower with you, hang something in the shower, you steam it. That works better for dresses, I've found, when you have to go and be an airline pilot wife really quickly and you don't own anything that's not wrinkled. So
the other trick, and this comes from the guy who used to have to wear suits every day in my previous life. The other trick is bring them all to the dry cleaners and they come back nice and neat in little boxes all folded up for you.
That is very, very much so what's going to happen. But we didn't have time for that because he didn't.
You couldn't find the 1 hour dry cleaner anywhere.
You can't crack open the bag of clothing like an hour before you're going to leave and go, hey, what am I supposed to do? There's a reason we're married. He's a mess, too.
Well, how did it go? Everybody's probably dying to know how his first flights went. I guess he made it because we'd have heard about that on the news if he hadn't. So
he made it. He flew into Cabo, and I guess that went really well. He's been mired in delays. Apparently, this whole thing, everything has been delayed, and he's actually only done about half the flights he was supposed to because of so many delays. But he flew back from Cabo to Dallas and landed the airplane himself. Of course, nobody knew. And apparently he gave himself a 7 out of 10. And he said nobody fell over or got hurt. So he feels pretty confident.
It's a little bumpy, but it was fine.
He said the flight attendants were like, you did it. Good job. So he landed and then he spent last night in Detroit. Glamorous life of an airline pilot.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Probably at an airport or one of those classy hotels right near the airport, too.
Yep. Detroit airport, baby. I was like, you're living the dream, dude. And then he'll be home this afternoon.
Well, good for him. He made his first round.
He did. Oh, so glad he's got that under his belt. He's like, oh, these things that are all, you know, common, you know, normal everyday stuff. He's like, nothing's everyday to me. This is so hard.
It's funny. Donna Santos, one of our listeners, said, hey, Jamie, can you ask Chad if flying a commercial jet is like riding a draft horse compared to like flying a fighter jet, which is more like riding a thoroughbred?
Yeah, well, he's done neither of those things. He's never ridden a draft nor a thoroughbred. So I don't know if he'll answer
he
that.
He doesn't know the answer, right?
He doesn't know the answer to that one, but I know that it is a lot different. He says it's so incredibly different. Not even the same thing. It's like riding a horse and a llama, I think, is probably a better comparison.
Yeah, a camel and a, Well, I'm glad he got that out of the way. That had to be a little nerve-wracking when you do that. And, you know, just communicating with the airports and all that stuff is different. It's just all different.
Yes.
You know, everything's different. But, Yeah, all he had to do before was say, hey, I'm in an F-16. I'm coming through. Now he's got to, like, listen to him when they tell him to do stuff.
So. I know. It's crazy.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? Do we have a show today, or are we just going to sit around and talk?
That's what we do.
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition post-airline pilot report, Mustang Mania is going to open up the show, and we are joined by listener and fellow Mustang fan, Allison Elfrink. And mid-show, the Haggard Horse Health Report covers skin issues. And in honor of National Smile Power Day, we've got an assortment of crappy lists to help you celebrate in style. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time.
you get a birthday wish, but you have to listen to that.
You have to suffer through that. Auditor Mary Ellen Murphy's birthday's today. Happy birthday. Ruthie Meyer, who is the wife of Joe Meyer, who hosts the Eventing radio show. It's her birthday today. And also my sister-in-law, Donna. It's her birthday today as well. So happy birthday to all of you.
Play that old happy birthday thing again.
Oh, geez.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Attaboy, Chili. I would like to give a happy birthday out to, you know, it's not going to be normal. Let me point out, it's June 15th, okay? Typical thoroughbreds that are born, you know, between January and April. Today's Mucho Macho Man's birthday. Yeah, the latest. Today's Mucho Macho Man's birthday.
Hey, Mucho.
That's right. He ran all three phases of the Triple Crown. And he wasn't even three. And he's ran for years after that. He's so tough and beautiful and awesome. So congratulations and happy birthday to Mucho Macho Man, our like best friend, you know, because we got to go meet him.
So yeah, so that counts. I have post a picture of us with Mucho Macho Man. I'll post that. I think it's in my phone. So I'll post that up. And I did post a picture. I posted on Patty Reeves, who owns Mucho Macho Man. I posted a picture of us with all our Mucho Macho Man hats because they gave us all hats, which was so cool. That was so nice. But yeah, Jennifer, actually, the picture of Jamie and I with Mucho Macho Man might be on your phone, actually. So you might want to check that. Speaking of phones, Jennifer got a recording of Nigel. I haven't taken off the phone yet, but she got a recording of Nigel screaming. Remember I said how loud Jennifer's new horse is?
Well, you have it?
Yeah, no, I don't have it yet. So I'll have to get it. I have to get it and see if we can play that. I hope it really indicates exactly how loud he is. Well, Jennifer is going to be calling our first guest here. So excited to be on the show with you. And, well, maybe, but more with you.
I just have questions for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the video. If you all want to watch the video we're going to be talking about before she comes on, then head on over to Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and we posted that video up there. I want to do a quick programming note while we're waiting for our first guest is that tomorrow is the trail riding episode and Friday will be a best of. Jamie's heading north into the mountains to get away from the heat, and I am heading to Orlando to hang out with journalists from the equestrian world. So I get to see some of our friends we've had on the show over the years, though, so that'll be fun. Well, I also get to see, and I want to give her a special shout out this morning, Jackie Baker. Now, a lot of people won't know her name, but she had one of the first blogs on horses on the internet called Talking Equine. Talking Horses. I can't remember what it was. It was so long ago. And she was the first guest on the first show that we did. She was our first guest 9 years ago on Stable Scoop, and she'll be there speaking because she's kind of an expert on websites and things now, and she'll be there giving a big talk on websites and SEO and all that stuff. So we're so excited that we get to see each other again after all this time. It's been a long time.
So that's fantastic. Yeah, is she still doing the blog? I guess I should.
No, she isn't. She had guess what happened? She had children. And then all of a sudden, you know, that got put on the back burner, and then she sold her horse. You know, she's going to be one of those that's really spending time with the kids now, but going to get back into horses.
Yeah, she's one of the ones that when they go off to school, she's like, comes to the facility going, my kids are in school and I want to start riding again. Can I take some lessons? Yeah, I am familiar with those.
Yeah, she's super smart too. I have to throw that in there. She's just a super smart. The company she works for is a really, really up there in the geek world, and she's one of the big players in it. So I'm very excited to see Jackie this weekend. Well, our guest is ready. She wrote me a note, and she said, "Hi, Glenn and Jamie. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your work on Horses in the Morning. I've been listening almost every day this summer and really enjoying it. I always love hearing you and Jennifer talk about Scooter and your exploits, as well as the great information. I also thought, since you guys talk about Mustangs a lot, you might enjoy seeing a video of me and my Mustang I trained. She was in the youth division of the 2015 Extreme Mustang Makeover." And she said, "I really appreciate the coverage you guys give the Mustangs." And she was so excited to talk to Jamie because you guys kind of have that Mustang thing in common. Although, I have to say, I watched her video, Jamie.
She got me beat.
Yeah, does Thor do all that stuff?
She's got me beat. I got training questions for this girl.
Well, she's on here. Allison, I think it's Elf. I can't say your last name, Allison. How do you say your last name?
Allison Elfrink.
Elfrink. Well, welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good morning, Allison. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for putting up with Glenn and listening to him throughout, you know, in between our Mustang chat here on the show.
Oh, poor Glenn. You know, he's just out of the loop. What can we say?
I know.
He's got to get
Hackney
one.
Pony.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the only horse person in my family. I was kind of like the only one that got bit by the horse bug, you know? And so I got into horses when I was about 11 or 12, seriously, for the first time. And, you know, it was one of those things that it just kind of took off, and I kind of got bit by the training bug whenever I bought my first horse, who was sort of a rescue horse. He had kind of a sketchy past, and so I bought him when I was, I believe, 13, 12 or 13. And he was crazy, and I was young and green and had no idea what I was doing, and my only option, because I couldn't afford to pay for a trainer, was to train him myself. So I wouldn't recommend people start off that way, but it ended up okay for me. And I did end up getting on a program that I enjoyed with him, and I started really working hard. And so after I kind of got him to where he wasn't a crazy basket case horse anymore, I started kind of training other horses for other people, just to kind of build my experience and, you know, to learn, because every horse you train, you learn something from. And so that kind of escalated into, once you've trained a couple horses, then you're like, oh, I need the next challenge. And one day I was looking through a magazine, I believe it was Horse and Rider, and I saw an ad for the Extreme Mustang Makeover competition. And that was kind of like the moment I was like, oh, I need to train a Mustang.
Yeah, you do. That's amazing. So just kind of, did you have any instructors? Did you have any help? Did you Google things? Like, how did you learn to teach these tricks?
Well, the most of my training is based off of the Clinton Anderson method. I started with that method because it was easy for me to learn. So basically when I taught my rescue horse, I taught him out of a book. I bought a book on how to train a horse, and I started with step A and I went to step B, and I kind of taught myself through that. And then as far as the tricks and the liberty goes with Chico, my Mustang, a lot of that was self-taught. It was, our relationship kind of got to the point where it was easy to do that kind of thing because we had such a good foundation. I mean, you spend 110 days on the ground training a horse, and pretty soon your groundwork's going to get really good. Mm-hmm. And so the liberty was kind of just an extension of that groundwork. Once our foundation was good, I just kind of started playing with taking that lead rope off. And then I experimented with teaching tricks, and that was kind of the end product that we got.
So the pictures of you, okay, how old are you? Let's come clean about this, because this, you think, oh, this training experience, she's an, you know, an old pro. You're a young pro.
I am. I'm 17. I was actually 16 whenever I picked Chico up. So I've had him for about a year. We competed in 2015 in the Missouri Extreme Mustang Makeover. And then, you know, I've had him for a year. It was a year in March this year. So.
So did they auction them off at the end of the makeover?
No, that's one thing that I really like for our sake about the youth program. And I think it's something that a lot of people, they don't think about the youth program. When you think of Extreme Mustang Makeover, you think of the adults. And the youth program, basically, you are assigned a horse just like the adults. The horse is between 12 and 24 months of age, so between 1 and 2 years old. So they're the younger horses that can't be ridden yet. And the youth are given them so that they can compete in hand on the ground. And then we actually adopt the horse at the end of the competition. If you need to rehome it, you can, but there's not an auction for the youth horses at the end, which is
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that is, in order to get my parents to agree, I did promise them that I would get rid of Chico at the end of the competition.
Liar.
I know, right? So, yeah, that was one of our deals, you know, was that he can't stay. You can't afford, because I pay for my horses. I bought my first horse with my own money, and I pretty much paid to take care of them on my own self. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. She was like, you can't afford another horse. And here we are, you know, a year and a half later, and I still have him.
Back to the auction part. Glenn, can you imagine how awful that would be if, like, there's like a 12-year-old girl in there who's worked so hard, a 17-year-old girl, and there's worked so hard with this horse, they like watch it get ripped away out from under them. Oh,
nobody
God.
Would bid. That's why they don't do it. Nobody would bid.
And you know, and that's, it's all
exactly.
And it would be your luck, you know, that your horse would not be the one of the ones that sells for $200. It'd be the one that would, so you couldn't buy him back. It'd be the one that would go back to $10,000. You know, that'd be your luck.
Yeah, great. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Well, and it was kind of, you know, that would have worked out really bad for me because we did end up winning the competition, and so the winning horse always tends to sell for a little bit more. So
you won it.
I did. I took first in every class and overall champion.
Holy crap, girl.
Congratulations. That's so amazing. I'm looking at the pictures. And if you guys want to check her out right now, if you're in front of your computer or whatever, you can go to facebook.com/Allison's Mustang Journey. And the pictures of you, I guess, in the makeover, you're wearing jeans, a big old bell buckle, carrying an American flag, wearing an American flag shirt. And your horse is a chestnut or sorrel. I don't think I've ever said that word before. A chestnut with a big blaze. And you've painted the American flag on his blaze. Oh my gosh, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
That actually, those pictures were actually from recently. That was not in the makeover because the belt buckle is what I won in the makeover.
Oh.
So that was actually just recently. I volunteer at a horse therapy barn where we give horse riding lessons to kids with special needs. And so we had our annual horse show for our riders there. And we were invited to come present the flag. And so that was from our performance of presenting the flag at the barn that I volunteer at.
I'm going to tell you what, listening to you talk makes me feel better about our country.
I was just thinking that, actually. I was just thinking, 17-year-old, really? She's here training these Mustangs. And by the way, one of the things that, and I'm sure Jamie noticed this too, when watching the video, is how gentle and how quiet. Now, you weren't riding. You were on the ground. It was Liberty Work, the one I looked at. But it was, you can tell somebody that has a gentle spirit around horses, and that's the thing I got out of that.
And the smile.
Yeah,
ear-to-ear smile that she has. So, anyway, Glenn, you were about
and
to
And also
take...
volunteering and all of that stuff. Yeah. Jeez, girl.
Paying for her own horses, lying to her parents. I mean,
yeah.
It's a typical kid.
What a perfect kid, right?
I promise. I won't keep it, I promise.
you know, after winning and all of that, and I didn't honestly going into it, you know, you think being a kid that didn't have a trainer working with her, who didn't have parents that were horse people, going into this, I did not expect him to end up where he was. I'll just be honest. I did not expect to get the level of trust and communication with him that I ended up with. And so it was one of those, I think mom and dad realized that I had a once in a lifetime horse on my hands at this point, and who had also just won a check and a belt buckle for their daughter. And I don't think they were going to, you know, say you had to get rid of him.
Yeah,
be like,
the
you
check
just
helps.
Won the whole thing. You just won.
Helps.
All right, put them in the trailer, send them back.
Your mom, your mom probably loved the belt buckle and your dad thought it was cool, but your dad really liked the check. That was the best part.
Oh, and you know, it was cool whenever just the competitions themselves are amazing. Just the people that I got to meet and all of the kids were really, really friendly. It's just, it's been an amazing experience. And since then, so much has happened. We were featured in Young Rider magazine this spring. So they actually did a article about me and Chico that ran in their magazine, and that was really exciting. So just the opportunities that have opened up. I've been very, very blessed to be able to do all the things that I have with him.
Now, how did you hear about us? How did you hear about Horses in the Morning?
Well, actually, I'm friends through the Mustangs on Facebook with Mary Kitzmiller. And so I was really disappointed that I didn't get to go to Road to the Horse this year because I was really excited because Clinton Anderson was going to be there. And so she had posted something about the live coverage that you guys did. And so I started listening through that. And then this summer, I like to, like when I'm outside working or whatever, I like to have something to listen to. So I figured out when you download the app, you can download the episodes. So then when I don't have Wi-Fi or I'm out doing something outside, I can still listen. So I've been really enjoying it.
Well, good. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, Mary did a great job with that coverage there. It was fun. And I think we have a future Road to the Horse competitor in a few years coming up here, Jamie.
Absolutely. Well,
you can go in there and kick Clinton's butt in Road to the Horse is what you can do.
Well, you
I wouldn't go that far, but
well, you mentioned Clinton Anderson, but you're doing things that I haven't seen Clinton Anderson do. So talk me through the, let's see, how are you teaching the Spanish walk? You taught your Mustang the Spanish walk. When you lift your leg, he lifts his leg. He, right. Yeah. So, talk me through that.
That's actually a trick that we lovingly call for Chico, the Spanish stomp, because he doesn't actually do it right. The true Spanish walk should be a little bit more extended and slower. He does a little creative interpretation and he likes the Spanish stomp. So basically the first trick that I taught, you can call it a trick, it's really a foundation for the tricks, was to teach him to pick up his leg on a verbal cue and hold it up. So that gives you the basis for then when you want to teach them to lay down and bow and all of those other tricks. That's the first thing that I taught him. And I taught most of them before the makeover because when we did our Liberty Freestyle at the end, we laid down. So he was trained to lay down by the makeover. But after that, once they know how to pick their foot up on their own, it's just you kind of keep tapping until they get a little irritated and they want to kind of extend that leg. Like they'll hold it up and hold it up and they're like, I'm still not finding the right answer. And then the moment they start to stretch that leg out, you would say good or all right or whatever your cue is to say that was a good job. And then you would just walk them forward so that they get that release of pressure. And it's a building thing. It's like, you know, you might do it couple times one day, and then the next day you might get one really good step and ask for a little bit more of that extension every day and just build on that. And before you know it, he was, I think I taught him that in like 2 or 3 days. That was one of his easiest tricks.
Oh, that's great. And then the lay down, you got him laying down perfectly. And I noticed in the grass, he doesn't resist laying down too much when you're knee deep in green grass, but how did you do that?
Well, at the beginning, and once again, all of these tricks are kinds of things that I've taught myself. I had a basis of how I knew people did them, and then I kind of took it and applied it to him. I know laying down with ropes is kind of a controversial subject, and I know Mary Kitzmiller has talked about that a lot, and it does take a lot of feel and timing to know, you know, how to do it safely. But I did in the beginning, I wanted to teach him that if you're in a bind, if you're in a situation that you don't understand and your feet are caught, the right answer is to relax and to give to that pressure. So I did in the beginning tie his foot up and lay him down. It took him about 30 seconds, so I wouldn't really say it was hard for him because I pretty much just held his foot up and he dropped. I mean, it was very easy for him. That was an easy trick for him to learn because he's lazy. And he likes to do the trick.
That always helps.
That's something. Yes, he enjoys it. And then from there, I would kind of do the same thing. Instead of holding his foot up, since he already knew the cue to hold his own foot up, I would start, you know, just refining it to where I was relying less and less on actually physically holding his foot up, and he was taking a little more responsibility to hold his own foot up. And then from there on, you know, it just kind of escalated. It's like baby steps, you know, you build on what you got the day before. And before we know it, he was laying down and dropping all the time because he loves to do it.
That's great. Now, real quick, we got to let you go. Our next guest is ready, but are you riding him yet? Have you started that process?
I'm not. I've chosen to wait until he's three. So that would be next April to start him.
Good
just because I feel like with the competition, he had to grow up really fast and he had to go through a lot. And with all the tricks and all the training I've done with him, I just want to give him some time to let his body mature, let his mind kind of work things out, because he's sort of in the terrible two stage right now where he can be a little sassy sometimes. I'm just kind of giving him an extra year just to make sure he's ready. Because I don't want to rush him into it. I want to make sure I'm looking out for his best interests. So.
All right. Well, you guys, you remember this name, Allison L. Frank, because this girl is going places. I'll tell you that right now.
Allison's Mustang Journey.
I've been very, very blessed.
Yep.
Yes, Allison's Mustang Journey.
Allison, we'd love to have you back on to talk to you real soon, okay?
Okay, maybe we can do that whenever Chico started under saddle. That'd be fun.
Oh, perfect. I don't want to wait a year, though. So we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay, then before then. That's fine with me, too. I'll come on anytime you want to talk to me.
All right. Allison's Mustang Journey. I'm following you on Facebook, so we'll chat. Girl, thanks so much for coming on the show.
She's 17 years old. Let's remember that.
No, she's not. She's not. And just cute as can be,
yes.
You know, just.
And I love the smile. Every picture, those huge smiles of her and her pony. And the pony's really, really cute. I got to say that. She has a really cute Mustang, too. Well, we do have our next guest is ready here. So let's take a listen to this and get queued up.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we have Dr. Brown on the show. Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us this morning. We're going to talk to you about skin issues. We've had some listener questions and all sorts of questions about different skin concerns. But first, introduce yourself so everybody knows who you are.
Well, my name is Nimette Brown. I am a medicine doctor here at Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington. I've been here a little under a year right now. I specialize in horses and mostly internal medicine. So skin is sort of something we see pretty routinely.
Oh, gotcha. So one of the things that we actually just talked about this week, too, is taking care of the skin. Give us like a skin 101.
Well, as probably most of you guys know, the skin is sort of the biggest organ in the body, although we don't really think about it that way. It's really important for a lot of things, especially protection, mostly as a physical barrier, but then there's a lot of immune system cells that live in the skin as well. And so protecting that skin is really important for just the overall health of the horse. A lot of potential pathogens can get in through the skin. And so I think, keeping the skin as clean as possible, keeping all the parasites and fungus, bacteria off of it is really important for the overall health of your horse. And those things can be done pretty easily by just routine bathing and brushing. It's not that difficult.
Gotcha. So to talk about keeping it clean, how often should we, I'm just going to give you basic questions here that I don't know the answer to. How often should we bathe our horses, and how often is too much, and how much is not enough?
Well, I think it's similar to any pet that we have in terms of bathing.
Once a year?
If they're living outside, Well, that's probably about how often I bathe my dog, but probably most people do it more frequently than that. You know, if the horse is living outside, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to give him a bath once or twice a week. If they're inside, if they're getting worked routinely, especially in the summer when they're getting hot and sweaty, probably more frequently would be better. So it sort of depends a little bit on your lifestyle and what type of riding you do or what kind of work you do with your horses. If they're, you know, living outside and constantly muddy, then it would be a good idea to keep at least the dirt knocked off of them or keep their legs clean and as dry as possible.
Sorry about that. 2-year-old and 3-year-old in the room here.
That's right.
So, no worries. So when you are giving a bath, if what products do you recommend as far as giving a bath? Are there certain shampoos or ingredients you want to stay away from or look for?
So I think for the most part, just similar to people or dogs, the more natural the ingredients, the better on a regular basis. And this is just for an animal that doesn't have any skin problems. So picking something natural would be good. Those oatmeal-based products are usually pretty soothing for most animals. The more fragrances, the more chemicals they have in them, the more of a chance that those shampoos can actually be irritating to the skin as opposed to helpful for your horse. So I don't have any necessarily off the top of my head brand names, but just something as natural and with as few chemicals as possible would be probably the best thing for an everyday bath.
Now, I have to ask you about one of the questions we get all the time here and people have to deal with, and they don't entirely understand it, is sweet itch. Can you explain sweet itch and what it is and how to treat it?
Sure.
I'm sure you run into that all the time there in Kentucky, too. Yeah.
We do, and especially this time of year. So sweet itch is kind of the layman's term for a weird immune reaction to bites from a midge. It's a type of insect. It's the noceums that we see out. And those are, like, the real name for them is culicoides. And so what we see in horses is just hair loss and itchiness sort of all over the body, but it tends to sort of be in areas like where the mane is, under the belly, along the back, but it can happen anywhere. You see hair loss, you see itching, sometimes some raised bumps. The underlying science behind it is just an immune reaction to the bite of that insect. And so trying to keep those insects off the horses is probably the best way to sort of prevent it. And I know that can be really difficult. But some of the things that we recommend are the midges like to come out sort of dawn and dusk. That's the time they love it the most. So maybe keeping your horses inside during that time. If they are outside, putting fly sheets, fly masks on them, and of course, fly spray or any topicals that will keep those insects away. When the horses are in the stalls, they're sort of sitting ducks for biting insects. And so we try to encourage people to use fans. The flies don't like to be in stalls where there's moving air, so fans tend to help quite a bit. Screens in the windows, if that's something that's possible. Most cases can be resolved with just bathing, the use of topicals, and keeping the insects away. However, in some cases, in some more severe cases, you may have to have your vet come out and give your horse some additional medications to help that immune system sort of calm down. But we do see it quite frequently, especially this time of year. In Kentucky, it's been a huge problem.
Well, Glenn, it's funny you said sweet itch, and I was like, I don't think I know what that is. And then I'm listening to her. Oh, summer itch. That's what we call it out here in Arizona. Yep. It's called summer itch. Same thing. And I had a horse, Jet, this is about the time every year that he would get his steroid shot, just because he was he would rub along the fence line, just up and back and up and back. You just felt so bad for the guy. So yeah, we've definitely had to do a little bit of that. One of our listeners actually sent a message. Her horse has, as he's gotten a little older, kind of has a loss of pigmentation, I think around his lips and mouth area. Can you tell us what that is? Is that just old man stuff?
Well, it does depend. Just like older dogs and pets can get sort of white spots and just as you know, I'm getting some gray hairs too. Same thing happens to horses. So there's a couple different things that we see. Some of them can be genetic. So just like other animals, horses can get albinism. That's more genetic. That usually you see from birth. What we see in older horses is sort of a term we call vitiligo. So the skin just turns white over time. And that's completely normal. It happens. It can happen all over the body. We certainly do see it around the face. But sometimes they get those little white spots all over their body. Sometimes they just get little gray hairs here and there. And usually it's not a problem at all. Sometimes, and you guys probably have seen this too, sometimes if your horse has an injury, sometimes the hair follicles or the pigmentation can get damaged and they can grow back some white hair. Again, that's not a problem either, but it's sort of a different way to get some white hair depigmentation on your horse. But in most cases, that depigmentation doesn't cause any issues, and it just creates more character for your horse.
Well, now character, I like it. Like you, Glenn,
yeah,
gray
like
hair.
Yeah, I got character. A lot of character. That's for damn sure. So I got to ask you, Dr. Brown, this is something that Jamie does not have to deal with in Phoenix, and that is rain rot. Is sweet itch and rain rot are different. So what's rain rot, or what we call rain rot? I'm sure it has a fancy name.
So I'm kind of impressed that you guys don't see that at all in Arizona, because again, here in Kentucky, with the rain, we certainly do see it a lot.
We don't have rain.
They don't have rain. See, that's the thing.
I know. And hence the name rain rot. So it's not necessarily just the rain, but it's a combination of this wet environment with some bacteria. The technical term for that bacteria is Dermatophilus, and it likes to get into the skin, and especially when it's the wet, moist environment, it likes to grow in that. You know, weirdly, we don't think about it, but some horses can be chronically infected with rain rot. So they have sort of less severe lesions, but they have it sort of on their skin at all times. Those horses tend to be a problem for other horses around them in that they can spread this bacteria. It's really, you know, you see it all over their body. You can see it on their back, on their legs. It's sort of this characteristic, sort of like paintbrush type hair loss. If you pull it off, that you see the little pieces of hair in it. And so
that's
usually
gross.
That's all you need for your vet or for you to even look at. It's really gross. And when you scratch it, it comes off in little chunks.
Yeah, it's like
So
how do you treat it?
So it's the same, very similar to most of the other skin diseases in terms of bathing. You can use sort of any antibacterial shampoo as it is a bacteria, and you do want to try to get off most of those chunks. Certainly don't want to cause like, you know, bleeding or anything like that, or any other trauma like that. But if they come off easily, you want to try to get them off. In more severe cases or in horses that may be sick, then occasionally we'll have to use some systemic antibiotic treatment, but that's on the very rare occasion that the cases are really bad.
Gotcha.
I got one follow-up here. Alex, one of the listener who was inquiring about the loss of pigmentation, says the horse is a gray Arab, is only 10 years old. So I think that's why she was concerned.
Sure. And, you know, we see the depigmentation. It can happen at any age. And so we do tend to think of it as a middle-aged to older horse condition, but we can see it at any age.
Okay.
And again, we usually don't see it as a problem. So even if it's happening in her 10-year-old gray horse, it shouldn't be an issue.
Is it something you see fairer-skinned people with freckles burn easier? Is it something that you see with grays more, the pigmentation thing?
You know, we do see it in certain breeds, but I wouldn't necessarily say gray horses in general. Maybe quarter horses would be more predisposed, maybe Arabian horses. But I wouldn't necessarily say the grays over any other color.
Okay.
Gotcha. So, speaking of gray horses, anything we should look for beyond, I won't own a gray, no, I'm just kidding, but there are plenty of listeners that have gray horses. So talk to us a little bit about gray horses and what skin issues we should look for.
Okay. So probably, you know, the biggest one that I think that people are concerned about are melanomas in gray horses. And there are many different types of melanomas. The most common one that we see in gray horses are the benign tumors that happen in pretty typical locations, which maybe under the tail, sort of around the perineum area, the sheath, the udder, the lips, and maybe even the parotid salivary gland right behind the jaw. And those are very typical locations for the melanomas that we see in gray horses. And in general, these melanomas, they can start growing at any age. We definitely see them more commonly in the older gray horses. Most of the time, they do not cause problems as far as they're not considered a malignant tumor. They're considered more benign in nature. As they grow, certainly they can cause issues as far as just being there. So if they're under the tail, they can cause the horse to have some trouble defecating, things like that. But in general, they're benign. That's probably the most common skin tumor that we see in gray horses, and it's certainly something that people who own gray horses should be watching because they will sort of get bigger with age.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Glenn,
I think she's covered it.
yeah, I mean, my gosh, this is so thorough and amazing. Great. Any other questions our listeners have? I don't know, because you've answered just about all of them. So it's haggardequine.com. And where are you originally from?
I'm actually from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, cool. Oh,
okay. Not too far away. So can you sing us a country song, too, while you're at it? Because apparently everybody in Nashville does that.
You definitely do not want me to sing for you today. I think you would lose all your listeners if that happened.
Oh, they've heard me, girl. They still come back. I don't know. Well, Dr. Brown, it's been a pleasure having you on. I certainly hope we get to have you on again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dr.
All right. Have a great day.
Well, we're going to, we have to hear from the good folks at Haggard, but I thought, you know, I was picking a song today, and did you get a hold of Jared yet? We're trying to get a special musical episode, a second one with Jared Rogerson, because he just came out with a new album called Heaven. And I was looking at the songs and I thought, well, we should play one of them. It's out now. It's available on iTunes, by the way. So if you love Jared, you can head on over there. I bought the whole album. So I have all the songs, Jamie. We're ready to go.
Let's do it.
But I thought it's Wednesday. We talk in a lot about horse health, and we talk a lot on this show about riders getting hurt and being sore. And he has an appropriate song called Ode to Ibuprofen. And we're going to. So let's take a listen to that right after this word from Haggard.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Don't get me wrong, I like a good time just as much as the next guy, but I don't need artificial thrills. Let me tell you how I got this black eye. The other day I got bucked off, I got hung up and drug around a little. Ibuprofen turned my frown upside down. I'm talking ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your rage. Here's to knowing you can feel less broken
the breakfast rodeo champions is 4 to 5 Advil. And you can tell if they're really wise, 'cause they'll grab a bag of ice before they ride and spread it out and put it on from head to toe. Makes you ready to go and take some ibuprofen to get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your rage. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Guaranteed to not cause addiction. And you won't even need a prescription. No, you won't. Ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your rage. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Yeah, I'm preaching about something I know, and this is my ode to ibuprofen.
I think he must have got a contract as a sponsor of ibuprofen. I don't know.
That what I heard right there was like, are you feeling aches and pains?
Yes.
Well, right now, just ibuprofen. Like that song is going to be a commercial. He's going to cash in on his ibuprofen song.
That's funny. When I saw it on there, I went, what? What's the ode to ibuprofen? And then
love it. But ibuprofen and I are very good friends.
Yeah, Jennifer, too. She buys it. I don't know about you, but she buys the big 500 pack, the big bottle. Yeah. She doesn't buy it in little 50 packs. So that's just not enough.
No, I go to Costco.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was Jared Rogerson. You can find all his music at jaredrogerson.com. Find his brand new album called Heaven. And you can go to iTunes and just search for Jared Rogerson, and the album's there. There's a lot of horsey stuff on there. Jamie's trying to get him cornered, and we'll do a whole another musical episode.
You know, honestly, it's I know what you're thinking.
What are you thinking?
I've been emailing him for days and stalking him, and he's trying to run away and avoid me.
Yes.
I know you're thinking that.
I am thinking actually.
I'm sorry. I've been so busy. I haven't even emailed him yet. So it's okay. It's not,
so it's,
I swear,
not him of trying to avoid you because you're a stalker.
No, no, but okay. If you, Jared, if you listen to the show, he could just call in.
Well, Jared, we'd love to have you back. That's for sure.
I'll get him. He likes me. He likes me. He doesn't. It's not like Charles and Zenyatta where he's like, please stop calling. He actually is like, you know, he's okay with it, I think.
Well, as far as we know, we'll find out. We'll find out. Hey, and there was another thing that I noticed was going on that I found kind of disturbing. And that is our auditors, some of them have taken on themselves to go back to episode 1 of Horses in the Morning and listen to them all.
Good God.
I know.
I just want to do that.
I saw the one comment on there was how, what was her comment about how enthusiastic and excited we were when we got started 5 years ago?
Yeah, she's like, you guys are so much more enthusiastic and excited. I'm like, shoot, I'd need to drink more coffee.
Well, you didn't have a child then. We were 5 years younger. We were just starting out, you know. you were sleeping better. I was sleeping better. We didn't have 10 shows on the network then either. So I think just life goes on, right? I mean, that's what happens. But God bless you people who are going back to episode 1. We were with Blog Talk. For new listeners, we were with a service that Blog Talk Radio was called. You'll know that because you could hear it on there when we bitch about it. And it was just awful. And it was like bad AM sound, and it was terrible that way.
Oh, I didn't even tell anybody we had a show. Hey, Jennifer, are you here? Talk to Glenn. I have a 3-year-old that is demanding water right now.
Okay,
I'll be right
so
back.
Yeah,
oh,
so we had Blog Talk for years, like 5 years, and the sound was not great. So bless you people who are going back and listening to those first 5 years. Jennifer listens back when she's putting best stuffs together, and she just, I can see her in there. She's just cringing. So
makes me twitch.
For all of the thousands of people who listened to this show over those years, you deserve a medal. That's all I'm saying. Sound is so much better now. Oh my God.
You know something though? It was either really bad sound or no show at all back then, because that was our only option. That was very, very early adoption of technology to get it done at all.
Yeah, it was. And that is true. We forget about that. I forget about that sometimes because we've come so far. When we first started the Horse Radio Network back in 2008, we didn't know how to do any of this, and it was so brand new. It's not like
the only way to do a live show other than using the Blog Talk system was to have it invited only, just like you would do a webinar for a company or something like that. And we didn't want to do it that way. We wanted to be open to everybody who wants to listen without having to have an invitation or a password or anything like that. And we found that through Blog Talk. And it worked. It got the job done for the first few years.
Yeah, for the first 4 years, I think we used it. Yeah. When we
switched over to this system, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Like, these people sang so good during those songs. You can't really tell. It's like Templeton Thompson sings like an angel.
She's not all staticky and squeaky. Yeah. It's like, and that's pretty
Jared
much what it was.
Sounds even better. Yeah.
That's how it all started. So for those of you going back to the beginning and listening to all of those shows, and there were a lot of frustrating days along the way there where the technology wasn't working and we just improvised and did the best we could.
This is the birth of a new technology. It's just like when you listen to recorded live radio broadcasts from 1919, you know? It was early.
Speaking of which, I don't know. We haven't talked about it on the show yet. They came out with the trailer. Remember, they were here filming in the studio one Friday for a new documentary called The Messengers. It's on podcasting, and they were here filming, and then we talked about how they went out and did drone footage of Scooter and Nigel out there riding in the field, and they were here for like 2 days. Well, they came out with the trailer for this thing. Have you seen it, Jamie? It is unbelievable.
I shared it, Glenn. It was amazing.
And it's really good, isn't it? Those guys are good. I mean, it looks official. It really does. It's very good.
It looks like it's ready for theatrical release. I mean, and by the way, I've never seen anybody finish a movie that fast. Are they done with it?
No, that's just the trailer. They're out there. Actually, where they are today is they're out in Los Angeles at E3, which is the big gaming convention. And one podcaster who really owns the gaming world is out there, and they're filming him doing his thing out at the gaming convention because he's like the god of all podcasting when it comes to gaming. And he's from here in Florida, too, but they're out there following him, and they're traveling all over the country to do these things. I mean, they had him on boats. It was really well done. Now I'm so excited to see it. I really am.
It makes it look like the life of a podcaster is much more cool than it really is.
And it makes
which
it look
is what
exciting.
Films are supposed to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what I got out of it was it kind of encourages people to chase their dream, and that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and I think that's the way they're going with the whole documentary is that way. I busted their chops a little bit. I said, you didn't show one nerdy guy in a basement and a mic. Because which is the other half of the podcasting world.
And, they got you all spit-shined and
no,
dressed
they
up.
They cleaned me up. That's right. I don't look bad in a cowboy hat, by the way. You know,
it's all in the lighting.
I'm not
Glenn.
A bad fake.
It's all in the lighting.
And I wanted
friend.
To say that it is cool, and I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm just saying this in general. It is so cool that the horse world is prominently featured in that. You know, that is cool. I mean, it's the mission statement of the Horse Radio Network is uniting the horse world one show at a time, and you're bringing new people into the horse world, and hopefully by seeing that, you know, we get a few people that might be interested in horses that were not before. So let's hope that's what it accomplishes, and I'll let you know, Jamie, when the premiere is. So.
It's like, look at that girl on that majestic big chestnut horse, and look at that nerdy guy on driving the pony.
That drone footage is kind of cool, though, isn't it?
You should have had a hook borrowed a draft horse.
Hey, Scooter could not be in the video, right? I mean, he's the celebrity here. We're not celebrities compared to Scooter and Thor. They're the celebrities.
They take it all.
Hey, another celebrity that got an award over the weekend, and it was just so cool, is the Princess Royal. That's Princess Anne. Now, for those of you that are not totally up on your princesses and your royalty over in England, and by the way, we do not have Victoria today. She is she has a meeting with the big bosses this afternoon, she said. At Horse and Country TV, so I thought I'd give you a little British news today. And that is Princess Anne received an award from Longines. It's a Longines Lifetime Award. And Princess Anne is the second child, the only daughter of Queen Elizabeth. So she's Queen Elizabeth's daughter, and you would probably know Princess Anne. Younger people will know her because Zara Phillips is her daughter. So we have Queen Elizabeth, we have Princess Anne, and then we have Zara. And Zara, of course, is the big inventor in England. What a lot of younger people don't remember is that Princess Anne was a huge inventor. She was really into it. She was an outstanding rider for several years on the British eventing team. In 1971, she became a European champion, and the same year was nominated for Sportswoman of the Year by the Sports Writers Association, the Daily Express, World Sport. A few weeks later, she was voted BBC Sports Personality of the Year by the British public back in 1971. She went on to win three more European championship medals, a team bronze in 1973. In 1975, she took individual and team silver medals. The following year, Princess Anne was selected to compete for Great Britain at the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal, Canada. She's had such great accomplishments. She went on to be president of the International Equestrian Federation for two terms. She became president of the British Olympic Association. She's a member of the International Olympic Committee. And she just was so involved in the sport of eventing and in horse sports in general. Well, of course, she gets that from her mom, right? We all know Queen Elizabeth is really into horses, and now Princess Anne's daughter, Zara, is doing so well on the in the eventing world in England. So she really deserved this award. It's the Longines Ladies Award. It celebrates women who have consistently performed at the highest level and made a significant contribution to the equestrian industry through their work. And I have Daily Mail posted an interview with Princess Anne where she talks about the past, and I think we'll take a listen to that.
For many children, the sport they do is because that is the one that was most available to them. I was lucky that there were horses involved, and I was lucky that I suppose that I was good enough and interested enough to go on with it. Because I hadn't really started eventing all that long before, it was still a learning process. Most of my fellow competitors at that stage had been competing at all levels, and particularly in horse trials, for much longer than I had. There was also a certain attitude towards anybody who could manage to do dressage at any level would fail to complete the cross-country course, so that was a new experience, but I didn't realise that. I think you live in hope of finding the right horse. Put it this way, if you were going out to look for a three-day event horse, you wouldn't have ended up by buying him. He didn't look the part. He didn't have a history of the part. He had no form, either in breeding or in anything else. To be selected for Montreal was a relief, in a way. It was a very good chance that we might have been selected for Munich in 72. But in fact, that didn't work out. So getting to Montreal and actually getting the ride was enormously satisfying. I got into racing kind of accidentally through a challenge for a charity race day and went on from there. But I think I eventually learnt that in horse trials and event riding, you should be sort of 85 to 90% in control of what goes on. Racing, I reckoned you had to be nearly 99% out of control to be truly competitive. So it was a bit more of a challenge to just let the horse get on with it. I'm old-fashioned in the sense that I think that the responsibility to manage, to administrate, was part of your responsibility as an athlete to move on to. Any sport is lucky enough to have a long-term sponsor like Longines is really fortunate. And I know you go back to its origins, it seemed like a pretty good fit, but that applies to lots of sponsors and they don't always stay. So Longines has been an extraordinarily loyal sponsor for the equestrian world across the board, and that's been an enormous encouragement. It does allow people the luxury of being able to plan a bit more.
That was Princess Anne. She, that horse she was talking about that she rode at the Olympics, was the horse's name was Goodwill. So that's the one she was talking about. How cool, huh?
That was awesome. And we have to have our Wednesday dose of a British accent.
That's right. She sounds a lot like the Queen, doesn't she, when she talks, Princess Anne?
She does.
Very She's very cool. similar raspiness to her voice.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of all have that voice. Yeah, very cool. Good job.
Well, hey, I was going to ask, do we have a, did you have something else to add?
No, go
that?
Ahead. Yep.
I was going to ask for a little help from our listeners. And I feel like the answer is already there, but you know, it's not bad to just reach out. So Zeus and Thor are both going to be going to their first major competition next month. This weekend, when I go to school cross country, I'm going to decide what levels they're both going to compete at. So yes, by the way, Zeus is ready a lot faster than Thor because he doesn't do that bolting thing.
But, that little thing.
That little, like, you know, runaway thing. So anyway, go sit down. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this kid. Daddy, when are you home? So I wanted to ask, should I do some sort of show name for these guys? You know, on their Facebook page, it is Zeus the Mustang and Thor the Mustang. And then with initially I showed Thor as the Mighty Thor. So because of that song that you have. But I don't know. Should I do show names? Should I just do Zeus, Thor? Should I do Zeus the Mustang, Thor the Mustang? What do? You know, kind of bring awareness to the breed by saying the Mustang, but is that kind of cheesy?
I kind of like it. I don't know what Jennifer thinks. I would leave it that way. Because you
We're
are bringing awareness. I like
We're
the
proud.
Awareness thing. Yeah. Besides, he's Thor.
Across the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming
I think you should leave it that way.
So not the Mighty Thor.
Well, that's pretty good too, though. That's pretty good too.
I posted it on my Thor asked the question and Zeus asked the question on their Facebook page, Scary actually wrote scary. Is it scary or Scary?
Scary, actually. Yep.
Scary. Okay. I don't know, with the Rosie and the Rossi and the Scary and the Scary. I don't know. I can't keep them all straight. She actually made the best suggestion.
It's a he. It's a guy. Scary's
a
guy.
Oh, my God. I'm such a jerk. He actually made the best suggestion. He said that, I don't think you can get any more fancy or intimidating than, here's Thor's show name. Thor, son of Odin, god of thunder and lightning. And here's Zeus's show name, his suggestion. Zeus, god of the sky, lightning, and thunder, and because Monty Roberts said so. For those who don't remember, Monty Roberts actually named Zeus. I had too many great suggestions, and so we sent the pictures and videos to
Scary
Monty
Wins. That's it. Those are the names right there.
And now entering the arena, Jamie Jennings writing, Zeus, god of sky, lightning, and thunder, because Monty Roberts said so. And now heading out on cross country, Thor, son of Odin, of god of lightning, thunder, and lightning. See, I can't even say it.
That's funny.
So
the Mighty Thor, it could be the Mighty Thor the Mustang, but that's kind of long.
That's too
long.
Much.
Yeah.
I like the Mighty Thor, but then Thor the Mustang, and you've got Thor's hammer. There's too many, but there's no real like concise way to say Zeus.
I like Zeus the Mustang.
I like
he
Zeus
needs
the Mustang.
To have the Mustang.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Zeus of Mustangs.
Then do you try to keep it, you know, similar and do the Thor the Mustang and Zeus the Mustang? Well, is he not a Mustang?
Yeah, but the thing about Thor is that it invites so many other cool names. So maybe you just leave Zeus the Mustang so he's representing. And then I like the Mighty Thor. That's really
cool. Here's something else to consider. Thor is who Thor is. We love him. But he is prone to less than spectacular performances. So perhaps if he wears his Mustang heritage in slightly smaller letters.
No, that's a good point.
He can represent because he's mighty.
Well,
I would like
mighty
to
naughty,
out,
and he can he's mighty fast.
He's a lot better now, and he's going to blow
you
away.
And, but you know what? If you think about Thor in the movies, he's a little unpredictable too. So he kind of does fit. Yeah. I like the Mighty Thor. Yeah. I really do. Because can't you hear it at Rolex? And now the Mighty Thor. Perfect.
Maybe I should just change his show name to Chris Hemsworth.
Only if he was a Palomino.
With a long flowing mane and big muscles. So anyway, suggestions are welcome. We could do a poll. I don't know. I won't take
that
your
on
advice
the Facebook
anyway.
Page. Put that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and we'll see.
We'll see. Show names. I need, but Elisa Wallace also chimed in and she said, just leave, show them as Thor and Zeus. And I thought, well, I think that's kind of boring. And so I said, I want to, you know, bring awareness, promote the breed, whatever, by putting the Mustang. And she's like, oh, that's a good idea. I don't do that, but that's a good idea. So she was not very helpful.
I like Zeus the Mustang. That kind of flows, right? It flows off the tongue. But the Mighty Thor, you got to go with the Mighty Thor. I'm really liking that. Thor's hammer, eh. That doesn't have the same thing as the Mighty Thor. Because you've just pictured the Mighty Thor thundering around the cross-country course.
I'm just stuck. I'm just stuck.
But you got to put the hammer on his saddle pads. You have to have that embroidered on his saddle pads.
Abby made me my little student Abby. She's so adorable. She made a saddle pad for cross-country for Thor that is a hammer, and then she made a cross-country saddle pad for Zeus that is a lightning bolt.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
We're dressed and ready, girlfriend. We just need to get out there and do it.
We just need the horse not to bolt, and we'll be perfect.
We need a horse that's going to jump and a horse that's not going to bolt. Then we're going to do it.
Then we're ready
by
for
God,
Rolex.
We're going to look good while he's running away.
The lightning bolt should really be on Thor's saddle pad because that's
gone.
Anyway, well, I got some news here, and let's do a list. I love your list. Let me just do the loser of the week, and then how about we do the things that drive vets crazy? I kind of like that. It's vet day, so that's perfect. So you get that one ready, and I'll do the news story because I need to do this.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Two women. Well, we all know about horse dealers, and they have bad reputations, and they drug horses before they sell them to you. Then you get the horse home, and it's a total nutcase and fruit job, and you're just, it's just awful.
Fruit job.
Two of them finally got caught, and this was in England. Two women equestrian dealers, horse dealers, have been found guilty of masterminding a horse doping racket used to sell tens of sick and dangerous horses to unsuspecting buyers, putting the lives of children and novice riders at risk. They presented themselves as reputable sellers, like they all do. In reality, 28-year-old Charlotte Johnson and Anelia Jurica were making up to £4,500 per horse in a scam that left several of their customers seriously injured.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This was serious stuff. After enlisting the help of a fraudulent vet, of course, there's always one of those involved, to certify the totally unsuitable animals as healthy, the pair sedated imported ex-racehorses and sold them as docile, learner-friendly animals. The court heard how one victim suffered from life-threatening injuries after being thrown from a horse, while others were left with broken ribs and blows requiring lengthy stays in the hospital. The animals were drugged at the pair's stable, and then they were sold. Many of the customers ended up facing veterinary bills totaling over $10,000 and discovering the animals were suffering from serious health problems. The pair, with the assistance of this veterinarian named David Smith, were found to have scammed at least 17 victims, although the court has heard as many as 350 animals could be involved. It was also revealed that Smith had previously been struck off the College of Veterinary Surgeons in 2002 when he was caught falsifying records for horses before they were being exported. So the judge was not happy. He went into this two-page thing, just reamed them a new one, found them guilty, and they were granted conditional bail until sentencing this month. But the judge told them they could expect prison sentences. So it sounds like he's already made up his mind.
Well, they should be in prison. But let me just give a piece of advice out. If you're buying a horse from somebody that trades horses. You know, they have a high turnover of horses. Not like you're buying it from one person who's had the horse for a couple of years.
Or a reputable rescue or whatever.
Right. Or, yeah, even that. If they are like, here, use my veterinarian, I would probably hire there's conflict of interest. You can just name that. Be like, I'm sorry, just conflict of interest. It's just too close. So get your own vet. Because somebody that trades horses, like, here, I've got a veterinarian right here. Bring it on. You know,
But what they're getting is always the people who know nothing, who are getting into it for the first time.
And those people aren't listening to our show.
They're not listening to our show. Exactly. They're not listening. They're not reading magazines. They're just going out and buying a horse.
Now, we were also on the Horses in the Morning Auditor's Facebook page talking a lot about pre-purchase exams. And we're going to get a veterinarian on here to talk about the pre-purchase exams and how important or not important this particular, case
we covered that just recently. So maybe Jennifer could just link to it. I think we did that like very recently. So we'll have to
maybe
check that.
Maybe we did.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I do in every pre-purchase exam and or just buying a horse. It's very important to me. You know, say even if you don't get a pre-purchase, you have your vet come out and look at him after you buy him or whatever. I always do a checkup and pull some blood. Mm. And what they'll do is they'll just pull some blood and put it in the freezer. And like she keeps blood for 6 months, my vet does. And just even in this last horse that I bought for that client, do you think we should pull blood? Just private seller, you know, nice girl. I said, every horse, pull blood every horse, because it only takes one time of you getting a horse that 30 days later is a nut job, bless its heart, and you pull blood and you realize it's drugged because there's what's called reserpine, and that's a 30-day tranquilizer. So not awesome. So I always do that. But as far as pre-purchase exams go, you're hiring a veterinarian that works for the seller. Don't do that. Hire your own vet, you know what I mean? Or a reputable veterinarian that has references, you know, I get on a tangent on this stuff because people like this are out there and they're the worst. I've dealt with them just in everyday situations of trying to go look at horses. It's terrible. So just be careful, everybody, please.
Well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about what was your list again? This looked like
fun.
Oh
my gosh, it's so funny. And it really goes over to, it translates to horses as well and horse veterinarians. So this is the 10 things dog owners do that drive veterinarians crazy. And let's see which ones we can link to horse owners as well. Number one, not prepared for your responsibility of the ownership of said animal. If you are bringing home a pet, do your homework regarding breed, size, exercise requirements, cost of veterinary care, and benefit of medical insurance for your pet. So don't go to the pound and adopt a 10-year-old basset hound with massive health problems if you don't have the ability to do a GoFundMe.
I was wondering what you were going to do with that.
Oh, God. $2,000. Yeah. $2,000 again. Anyway, moving on. So be prepared for the responsibility of ownership of said pet. You know, how many times have you walked outside of just the other day? I went to the feed store and they were giving away kittens outside of it. And Lucas is like, you sit down over there. I want a kitty. House. I want a kitty. Kitty, 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 kitty. No. I said, dude. Last time we came here, we ended up with 6 baby chicks and Chad was mad. I go, I will get divorced. I will be a single mom if I bring home a cat. So don't do that. Number two. Oh, this one drives vets crazy. Using Google as your veterinarian.
It drives doctors crazy too, by the way.
Yep. WebMD is really not always your friend and it's not the friend of any doctors. So don't trust the internet over consulting your veterinarian.
Because you know what? If you look at WebMD, every ailment you have is cancer.
Yes.
You're going to die. Those two things.
And not that I, just recently, I had a sick chicken. This past 2 weeks actually has been sick. And I Googled
Web Chicken,
you know,
MD.
I Googled how to fix this with this problem that she was having. It's called sauerkraut and it's really gross. And so I Googled how to fix it because it's one of my favorite chickens. And all these internet things. Oh, you got to give her apple cider vinegar, and you've got to do probiotics, and then you need to feed them this and this and this. And my vet came out, and I said, "Do you know anything about chickens?" She said, "No, but I know somebody who does." So she called. They gave me a prescription, and I saved the chicken. Crazy Toe lives. And if crazy I would have apple cider vinegared this chicken, she has a crazy toe. This is just what her name is. If I would have apple cider vinegared this crazy chicken, I might not have actually saved her. And here she is. She's like really old, and she's walking around. And
are there chicken vets, by the way?
Apparently there are, because she called one. I go, "Do you know anything about chicken? She's really sick." She's like, "No." And she's like, "And don't ask me about your dog either."
It's another thing they hate.
Yeah. Hey, while you're here.
Yeah, exactly. It's another thing they hate when they're going out to visit the horse. Everyone does it too. We used to do it. But the old time vets, I don't know if you've ever had one of the old time vets, but one of the old time vets, when I first met Jennifer, they would come out and they would treat everybody on the farm, the cat, the chicken, the goat, the horse, the dog, the cow. I mean, it didn't matter what you had. You could bring it to him and he would do whatever. He'd snip them. He'd do whatever right there on the tailgate of his truck.
Yep.
Dr. Pohl, the Dr. Pohls of the world.
God, I can't stand watching that thing. I'm like, dude, get in. Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Number three, not paying for their vet care. You know, the dog walks in with a new jacket and shoes and toys. And here, the quote on this one is, "I spent $2,000 buying the dog. I can't afford anything else." Yeah, the price of the horse is not what matters. But pay your vet bills, people. That's the thing.
First problem is you spent $2,000 on a dog. That's the first problem.
Well, you're an idiot. I spent $2,000 fixing one. I'm an idiot. waiting too long.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. This has got to be dogs and horses for sure, because I know with the horses, I was a vet tech in a previous life, and going out to these calls, how long has he been colicking? Well, 3 days. I figure he's dehydrated. I shoved the hose down his mouth. You know, oh, God. Call the vet.
I love the quote in this one. "He only vomits 2 or 3 times a day. How many times do you think they should vomit?"
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah, probably not that many.
Hold on.
This is the things that vets hate. I love number 5. It's forgets to tell you their dog bites.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to admit your dog bites, and you're just hoping that while he's at the vet, he's not going to, right? So,
when you're a vet, should that not be all dogs are guilty of biting until proven otherwise?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do try to treat him that way, actually.
Same with veterinarians, horse vets. My horse is going to kick you. Like, they're going to hurt you.
Yeah.
That you know, those horses that are needle shy or whatever, like, let them know. let him know. Hey, this horse don't like needles.
Jennifer learned a valuable lesson yesterday with Scooter, my pony. What lesson did you learn, Jennifer?
Never feed alfalfa hay to Scooter from your hand.
And what's on the palm of your hand right now is a big black and blue mark where Scooter got her. He lunged.
Hand feeding ponies. You just cannot hand feed a pony.
You can if it's not hay. He just goes nuts for alfalfa. And we don't give him any. I mean, this was
I was going to say, he shouldn't be eating that anyway. So, yeah. Problem solved. Number 6 is having to handle the owner to handle the dog. When people come in, I guess, in the office, and it's like their dog, you know, I'll hand my dog off to the vet. You do it. I don't want to do it. But apparently some people don't want to hand it over. You know, they're like, "No, it's my puppy. I'll do it."
Yeah.
Number 7, I've been very probably guilty of, is all these vet appointments that I took lucky to. Number 7 is children running wild.
Was this your vet that wrote this?
I know, right? Seems like it.
Is children Lucas's running name wild. In number 7? Let's see.
Strangely, there's a photograph of him, but... Yeah, I was trying. I would give him the cell phone, but then he would blast it. You know, some YouTube video is a mess. So, you need a babysitter. It's not always an option. So just do your best. not listening. When a pet owner asks you a question and then doesn't let you talk, but instead tells you about Dr. Google.
Dr. Google. They must hate the internet. Oh, they just must so hate the internet.
Another not listening is not actually doing the treatment. You know, like, give him this three times a day. You know they're not going to give it to him three times a day. Yeah. The eye medications for horses. You might as well send it somewhere because you're not going to give a horse eye medication every 2 hours. It's not going to happen.
And you know what they're doing? They're taking it home and they're going three times a day and then they forget. And then they remember once during the day and they go, I'll give them all three now.
That's what happens to me when I'm on antibiotics. I'm like, I'm taking them in 2 days. I better take double.
Take six of them right now.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? Person who brings dog in knows nothing. Okay. So when one family member comes in with a sick pet, but the husband is bringing the dog to the vet because the wife told him to, but then, hey, do you know anything about the dog? No, my wife does.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Horse husband at home alone with horse.
Yes, I've been there, done that. I don't know, Doc. It's just doing something funny.
I don't know. My wife told me to call you.
Yeah. She had to go.
But she's not here. She's at work. And then finally, number 10, cell phone use. Oh. Seriously, you would take a phone call while your vet is talking to you?
And yeah, apparently.
It says pet owners take telephone calls while you're in the middle of a sentence. It actually happens.
That'd make you want to just smack it out of their hand, wouldn't it?
I like the picture that they use is some girl like in a cute little black dress and she's got like a really cute purse, like a little dog in the purse and she's on her cell phone.
Yep. Like, it's Kim Kardashian right there.
It's exactly. Well, that's the list. 10 things that dog owners do that drive veterinarians crazy. It came from iHeartDogs.com.
iHeartDogs, which was kind of a cool website. I was looking around there. Cool website. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I want to give a plug. We never do this. And I want to give a plug to a website that carries our shows. And if you're into dogs and all things dogs or cats, then you need to head over to this website because they have about 100 podcasts. And it's called Pet Life Radio, petliferadio.com. And they have a ton of doggy podcasts on there, all about anything dog. It's over at Pet Life Radio, and they carry our horse shows on there. They're the only horse shows that are on Pet Life Radio, but we never give them any love, and I thought, well, I got to mention them, Pet Life Radio.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this for today. Jamie and I will be back together on Monday. You're back on Monday, right?
I will be back Monday, yep. Yes. Okay. I will be in air conditioning, dying. Yes.
Depends on whether or not Thor has his hammer with him when they practice cross country.
That's right.
He's going to be amazing.
Amazing. No bolting at all.
None.
You're going to be perfect.
It's going to be awesome.
So tomorrow we'll be back with the trail episode. We'll see you then, and have a good weekend, everybody. Friday, Jennifer's going to put a best of together for you, and I'm sure it'll include some really bad ads.
Here, say hi to Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Lucas. He's getting better at that, actually saying hi now.
Well, he sees your picture on the screen, and he's like, where's Glenn?
Oh.
I'm like, he's right there.
We're best buddies now that we've actually met, like, once or twice. We're best buddies now.
Lucas. Perfect.
All right. See you, everybody.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld.